Hello, welcome to the Stubborn Tortoise Podcast. I'm Donna Pastera. So today I've reached way back into the vault for an episode, and I'm going to reshare that one because it's from about 4 years ago. And in the early days of this podcast, I was actually recording it on the floor of my bedroom closet. I know that sounds really weird speaking into my iPhone. One way to record audio and have it sound pretty good is to sit in your closet surrounded by clothing, because the clothing absorbs the sound and it makes it not bounce all over the place. And this is what I often teach my students when I'm showing them how to record audio. I have since moved out of the closet and now have a microphone, or I've had one for a while. This is kind of, I'm actually on my second microphone. The other one I had, it kind of fell apart, and then it kept shorting out and doing weird things. And so about a year ago, I got a new one, and I kind of like it. It's got a little stand, and it sounds pretty good. I just got to remember not to get too close or too far away from it. But anyway, so this episode is sort of interesting for a number of reasons, aside from sitting on the floor of my closet. The intro is different. Early in the days, I really didn't know how to, what I was doing, instead of saying hello, I say hi. It was a little bit less formal. But anyway, then eventually it evolved into what it is now. And then what was the other thing? Oh, and the early days, what I would do is this podcast was born from a blog. God, I couldn't think of the word. It evolved from a blog that I kept with the same name, The Stubborn Tortoise. And so basically what I would, I think for the first, 10, 15 episodes, I was just rereading old blog posts, that cover the topics that I talk about. But now, of course, it's a little bit more interactive. And so, so it will be a little bit more polished sounding, I think, because I'm not, flying by the seat of my pants like I have been doing now for a few years. I kind of got tired of typing everything out and reading it like a script. I just feel, it's funny because I have a friend of mine that listens to this, and he always preferred the, when I would do it, having read through something, as opposed to, kind of doing it off the top of my head. But for me, it feels more authentic this way. It's a little bit more spontaneous. I don't want it to sound scripted per se. That's where I'm at now. It's also interesting because this podcast began, I think, in 2019, although this goes back to 2020, which I'm still trying to figure that out. But anyway, I happened to be really sick at that time. I did not have COVID, but I was pretty sick, and I've told that story before. But anyway, I couldn't go out and run. I couldn't do anything. So I just thought, well, what the heck? I'll just start a podcast, and because I've been kicking it around for a while. And so I did. And this is one of the first episodes, and I am talking about how you make relationships on the trail. So it would be, are your trail foes and friends. Probably one of my first trail races, I met this guy who was just about to send me over the edge. And I talk about it, so there's no point in me repeating that. But and then you meet delightful people like Gabriel, the 11-year-old that, basically picked me up at the Bandera Trail race, and like, I like your pace, I'm going to stay with you. So me and this 11-year-old kid and his best friend, we all hung together and got through the race. I think I've mentioned this earlier. His mom reached out to me not too long ago and said that Gabriel is now 18, 19, 19, I think, and he's in the Marines, and pretty cool. So I did try to reach out to him. I haven't heard back from him yet, but I also know that being in basic training is a pretty grueling experience, and so probably hearing from the nice lady that talked to you on the trails it may not be high on the priority list, and that's okay. But anyway, but I do think I don't know, there's just something about the whole trail experience and meeting people, and you're kind of overcoming things together and sharing an experience. It's just a little different from other kinds of competitive sports, at least in my opinion. You know, I've done enough, you know, long bike rides in the past, you know, where you meet people and you kind of hang together, but it's not the same. You know, you're basically it's just you, you know. So with trail, it can be, you know, kind of a communal experience if you want it to be. And I kind of like that. So anyway, so that's this episode. And so I just thought I'd share that with you. I should have a couple of interviews lined up this week or next. So it won't just be me again. not like, I don't know, sometimes people say they like just the episodes where I'm talking, but I don't know. I kind of like interviewing people too, because I think I like hearing other people's stories. I particularly enjoyed the one I had last week with Lisa Tuckwood. Again, just incredibly gritty, tough person, and really, really enjoyed talking to her. Anyway, what else? So yeah, this weekend, I was going to do this event out at San Pedro Springs Park. I mean, it's not even a formal event. It's just something the Rockhoppers are getting together and doing. The Rockhoppers are a San Antonio area trail running group, and they put on these competitive events. And this one involves running around a 1 mile loop as many times as you can for either 6 hours or 3 hours. I was going to shoot for the three, but then this morning I got an invite to a hiking group that sounds like it might be a just kind of a new experience for me. There's no running involved. It's just basically hiking. And, you know, and maybe at this point in my career, this might not be a bad thing to try. So I don't know. We'll see. But they are going to do 5 miles out at McAllister Park on Saturday morning. And I've got a bunch of friends that are going to go out there. And the interesting thing is they're going to keep a 20-minute pace, which is really slow. I mean, on trails, there's some times when you know, are doing that slow pace, and that's normal. But, you know, out there, it's, I mean, depending on the, you know, what part of McAllister I'm on, you know, some of it's kind of flat and fast, and so it's not so bad. But then there's some, you know, rocky stuff and roots and all that jazz. And so you do have to slow down. So I don't know. I just think I'm going to give it a shot this Saturday and see what this is like. I do know that they've got a bunch of hikes planned over the, like every Saturday, I think, for a few months. And they're going to eventually increase the mileage and the pace. So I think that could be interesting. So, and maybe this is a good way for me to kind of get back to it. So I will report back next week on that one. But outside of that, that is all I've got for now. I will see you next time. Hi, welcome to the Stubborn Tortoise Podcast. I'm Donna Pazdera. Today I want to talk to you guys about people you meet on the trail. This is one of the things that I find most enjoyable about trail running, is meeting people and getting to know them, you know, as you both overcome obstacles and help each other mentally sometimes. And it can be a really productive and rewarding experience, but also, there's also times when it's not such a good thing and it can kind of be a mental suck. This episode's going to be in two parts. The first part is about, this actually is my very first entry for my blog, which was November of 2012. It was also my first DNF. Some of that had to do with this person I met along the way. The second half is probably my favorite trail running experience, meeting a new person. Probably one of the most delightful stories, and I just love telling it. I think the thing with trail running is you do make friends. One of the things that some of my friends have cautioned me about is that you don't want to get too caught up in hanging out with other people if they start to slow you down, because you got to run your own race. For instance, back in October, I I did the Cactus Rose 25 miler, and I didn't bring a headlamp because I didn't really think much of it. The race started at 9 a.m. and the problem was it was held out at Camp Eagle, which was a different venue from what I was expecting. And that's just another long story. But anyway, along the way, I started to realize
that I was probably not going to make it in before dark, and it was starting to freak me out because the course was a little wetter and slipperier and rockier than what I was expecting, and so I just was not going fast at all. And ended up meeting this guy named Marshall, who was a professor of Asian studies, I believe, at University of Houston, and really funny guy, and we got talking and. Turns out he was also doing the 25 miler, but he was even more ill prepared than I was because the most he'd run in the last 2 years was 5 miles. Yeah. And here he is tackling a self-supported 25 miler. Yeah. So the interesting thing was, I found out that he had a headlamp and a flashlight. And so I made this executive decision to stay with him regardless of how long it took us because. I figured if it was going to be dark, I did not want to have to be fumbling around on that course without a light. Plus, it was nice to have a friend, or make a new friend and whatnot. God, it's so embarrassing. It took us about 11 hours to finish. Yeah, and truth be told, I probably could have gotten done a lot, well, a fair amount sooner, but you had the buddy system, so it was kind of like an honor thing. So, and it's fine. I mean, it was just a practice run, and so that was that. But yeah, always remember your headlamp, no matter what you do. So anyway, so let's get into the first part of this episode. Again, this one's from November of 2012. I call it Meet Dick, the Trail Gadfly. AKA the enemy. I had my worst run to date yesterday. Much of it was self-imposed. I'd camped in near freezing conditions the night before and was left in hypothermic condition with blue lips and numb feet by the time the race began. It was like 36 degrees. God. And I had a really terrible sleeping bag and just was not prepared for it to go down to almost. Just a little above freezing. So by the time the race began, I was really miserable. As we set out, I fell two or three times in the first couple of miles because I was so numb and brain fogged. And I was also coming to grips with the news of the sudden death of someone I had loved long ago and only recently reconnected with. In short, my head and body were not feeling this race, my first 25K. Compounding this was this guy I'll call Dick. Yeah, I know his real name, but let's just call him for what he was. And after my third spill, he stopped and asked if I was okay, which is common on the trails. And I said, yeah, even though I could feel my IT band aggravating my outer knee already. And it's not uncommon in these races to have a brief, pleasant chat with a fellow runner, and then you're on your way. Well, this guy decided I was an easy mark in my condition, and he set upon asking me the usual questions about where I'm from and what I do for a living. And I must have hit his hot buttons when I mentioned being from Ohio and Florida, and that I'm a college professor teaching journalism. Ah, those swing states. And then he went on a tirade about how everyone expects handouts and that the media are biased and that people who are able-bodied should work. And when I told him where I worked, he figured most of the kids there are on some sort of financial aid, like they had a defect. I mentioned that, much like my students, I'm the first one in my family to graduate from college, much less with a master's. And that seemed to piss him off even more. He went on about how he went to trade school and seemed envious of my educational level. He talked about his kids and how they're at varying levels of education, higher, and meeting with mixed results. He seemed angry that they couldn't find jobs, like it was somehow my fault. I tried to defend journalism only to have him tell me otherwise. If Rush Limbaugh had a running surrogate, it would be Dick. Making things worse, Dick would slow to a walk, forcing me to slow. And then he'd speed up again, and I would hope to lose him only to find him waiting for me. I doubt he was deliberately doing this, but between listening to him pontificate and the erratic pacing, I was crumbling. I'll spare you the rest of the details, but I was already having a rough go of it. And encountering this person just made everything worse. He could have been talking about home remodeling, and I would have found it annoying. That he felt entitled to go on a political soapbox on the trail infuriated me. Had I been in a better state of mind, I would have figured out a way to politely ditch this creep, and instead I let myself become his victim, and ultimately I caved. My normally strong and stubborn mindset vanished. My knee was becoming stiffer and more painful with every step, and I called it a day at mile 7.8. I was sad, but I was relieved to be done with Dick. I wonder if he found someone else on a second loop. Part two is going to be slightly longer, and this one is called My Best Summer Camp Friend. This one happened during Bandera of January 2016. Last year, a half mile into the 50K at Bandera, a guy told me he wanted me as his pacer because he liked my slow speed. We hung together briefly, and then I lost him after I had to step off the trail to tie my shoe. This year, 4 miles into the 25K, another guy said he liked my pace and wanted to hang with me. He was blonde, a great conversationalist, and very cute. Oh, and he's 11 years old. His name is Gabriel. I happened upon Gabriel as we were descending one of the climbs on Saturday. And it's not uncommon to run across kids at these trail races, but most are with a parent. And he seemed to be alone, and I asked him if he had anybody with him. He explained that his mom was doing the 50K, his dad and brother and a friend were doing the 25K, and he pointed ahead on the trail. And then he said with great authority, "I like your pace. I'm going to stay with you." And just like that, I became his pacer. The last time he ran the 25K, back when he was 9, he finished in 5 hours and 20 minutes. He wanted to come in at 5 hours or less. And I explained that when I'd done the 25K that same year, I came in at 4:40 and was shooting to come in this time at 4:30. He was excited at that prospect. I was a little nervous about the responsibility, but figured if one of us needed to go faster, then we would part company, no questions asked. Gabriel, I discovered, is a talker, a storyteller. He reminded me of myself at that age, and I love to read and hang out with the adults and talk. Well, that part hasn't changed. I learned that he comes from a family of tough runners. His mom just got a buckle for the Tejas 400, which meant she logged 400 miles at Tejas Trails races last year. That is really impressive. And his dad took on a 100-miler with minimal training, and he runs with a group every Sunday in Austin. I told him that I've been running for about 6 years, and he brightened at that and said he had two. Soon he was telling me about school, where he's in a debate group, and he shared tales of how he strategized his arguments regardless if he truly believed in them. He told me of his travels to his mom's home country of Bulgaria and of a day trip to Istanbul. I was impressed with his eye for detail in storytelling. I told him that I used to be a journalist and that I teach journalism at a university. And he got excited about that and told me he was thinking about taking a journalism elective next year at school. I think that he could make a great journalist. He is fortunate to have a dad who has introduced him to the classic films, with Rear Window being his favorite Hitchcock movie. I agreed. He said he'd watched Citizen Kane, but found it boring. "Rosebud!" he shouted, recalling the film's infamous line. I agreed, and I found Kane boring too. "Well, maybe I should watch it again. I saw it a few years ago," Gabriel said. "Nah," I said. "It's still pretty boring, but it's one of those ones that you have to watch." Somewhere along the way, I mentioned to him that we were summer camp friends, people with whom you share a close bond for a short period of time, and then you know you'll see them again the next year. This is a term I coined for friendships I make along the trail. "Summer camp friends," he mused. "I like that." A little while later, I spotted a tiny figure in a neon jacket, black baklava, and sky blue Crocs. He was waiting at the trail side. It was Isaac, Gabriel's friend, also 11. I was a little bewildered by someone running the trail at Bandera in Crocs, but Isaac could be a spokeskid for their use on the rocky trails. He was absolutely fearless on the downhills and mad fast on the straightaways. I noticed that Gabriel runs more like me, cautious, but with a lot of endurance. And I mentioned this to Gabriel, and he said that he and Isaac would make one great runner. "Sabriel," he said, combining their names. We all got talking about new movies, and I asked if they'd seen the new Star Wars. Well, of course they had. I haven't, but Gabriel explained that there is a lot of rehash, but it's worth seeing. "Can we talk about a spoiler?" Isaac asked. "Sure," I said. "So-and-so dies," he said. "Oh, yeah, I'd already guessed that from other things I'd read." "That's because so-and-so is so old," Gabriel said. I wondered what was considered old in the mind of an 11-year-old. Another runner joined us briefly. "Have you seen Star Wars?" Isaac asked. "Can you believe so-and-so died?" and the other runner weighed in briefly with her opinion. Later, the two boys talked about video games, something as alien to me as nail polish to them. It was enlightening, to say the least. As we scaled the climb towards Sky Island, Gabriel said he wanted to sit on the bench for a long while, and I got a little worried about that. "Hey, buddy, if you want to stay with me, you can sit for a couple of minutes, but then I'm going to have to force you back out there." He agreed. And at Sky Island, I took a couple of photos and asked another runner, Melissa, to take one of me and the boys. I also snapped one of them together on the bench. And then we were back at it. Oh, and he later told me I was the best summer camp friend ever. That still warms my heart and makes me smile. Around mile 13, Gabriel began complaining that he hurt. He wanted to walk more. I agreed, but only for a little bit. I knew he had it in him, but he needed the push. I know, because I'm exactly the same way. Lucky Peak, the place where I lost a good chunk of my knee at Cactus Rose in October, was approached with a great deal of trepidation on my part. The 25K course hits this crazy ascent and descent twice at Bandera, and as a special parting gift, it's left for us at the end. Isaac and Gabriel zoomed up and down the peak fearlessly. Me, I was a little more careful. And I thought I might have lost Gabriel, and I was okay with that. I wanted him to finish early. And then I saw him waiting for me on the trail side. I smiled. "We're almost there," I shouted. I broke into a jog with him dramatically panting behind me. "Are you okay, or are you being dramatic?" I asked. He didn't reply, but he sped up. "Uh-huh," the latter. Someone passed us in the other direction and said that we had 1K to go. In my math-challenged mind, I couldn't work out what 1K was. Well, I just figured the end was near. And we passed the last chance aid station. Just a half mile to go! What the heck? Was it a K or a half mile? Gabriel, meanwhile, was running out of gas. "Come on, buddy, I promise you, the chute will just be around that bend." And what seemed like an eternity, the flags beckoned. Gabriel zoomed ahead. I did what I could. He finished in 4:42:11. I finished in 4:42:15. Isaac crushed it and came in at 4:38:18. At the finish line, I hugged my summer camp friend. We posed for a picture, and then he was whisked away by someone where he apparently crashed into slumber for a spell. I posted our picture on the Tejas Trails Facebook forum, and his mom and dad had stories to share with me. "Hi, Donna, Gabriel's mom here. Thank you for running with him today. It really made his day. He really wanted to do this without our help today, and it was an empowering experience to make his very own trail friend and enjoy a pretty grueling experience." And then from his dad, "Thanks, Donna. Gabriel had many nice things to say about his race, but you were the highlight of his many, many stories. You have no idea how happy that all made me. I may not have hit my goal finishing time, but I felt like it was more than worthwhile to make a new friend and know that we'd made a lasting impression on each other. Gabriel and Isaac are youngsters to watch in the future, and I'm so happy I got to share this experience with them. This is what trail racing is for me." Well, that pretty much sums up this episode. Thank you so much for listening, and I'm trying to get this distributed to Apple Podcasts and Google. I think it's going to take a few more audience members to listen to it, so get your friends to listen to it. And feel free to leave me comments on the page if you have any suggestions or, you know, just feedback in general. That would be awesome. And again, keep listening. I've got more in store where that came from.